Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been talking about living by divine design. And the first Sunday we talked about this. We talked about how God created us with purpose. And he has a purpose for every person, first of all, to be saved. Secondly, to come to a knowledge of the truth. The second we talked about Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 8, that says something like this: as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you, cheat you, rob from you, take from you that which is rightfully yours, through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the basic principles of this world, and not after Christ. So we said, number one, God, as you've received Jesus, he wants you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And number two, he wants you to watch out. He says, beware, be wary, lest anybody steal from you what is rightfully yours. So you got to find out what is rightfully yours. So he wants you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and grow in your relationship with the Word. Today we're going to talk about renewing the mind, and I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 17. We're going to read through verse 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that from this point you don't walk as other Gentiles or unbelievers walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That's just to doing whatever you feel like, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. You haven't learned this in Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, way of living, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which after God in the likeness of God is created in righteousness and true holiness. As we go through these scriptures, we're going to talk about four points. Number one, I don't want you to live like unbelievers. Number two, you need to accept the truth that is in Jesus. The truth of in the embodiment of Jesus, his person, and the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of Jesus. Number three, you need to put off the old man. And there's two aspects of the old man: the unregenerated person, the one who's not been born again, and the one with the unrenewed mind, both aspects. Then you need to be renewed. Actually, there's five points: in the spirit of your mind. That word spirit in that connotation is not talking about your spirit. It's talking about the attitude. One meaning for spirit is like school spirit, like that. You got to change your mental attitude. You got to change the way that you see things, right? And be renewed means this: to put on anew, to take on anew, to have an absolute renovation of your mind. So two changes must take place if you're going to walk in the victory that God has for you, if you're going to live by divine design. Number one, you must be born again. And number two, you must renew your mind. And there's a lot of people that are saved and very stuck. And God doesn't want you to stay like you've always stayed. You know, if you think what you always thought, you're going to say what you always said. If you say what you always said, you're going to do what you've always done. And you're going to have what you've always had. So if you want to change it, you got to begin at the thinking level. You got to change your thinking, change your believing. If you change your believing, then you change your speaking, you change your acting, and you change your results. A changed life begins with a changed mind. You got to change your mind and believe on Jesus, and change your mind and believe on the Word. The fifth point is you must put on Jesus. He says this in verse 24, put on the new man, which after God, or in the likeness of God, is created in righteousness. right standing with God, and true holiness. True holiness isn't about what you do to the outward man. True holiness is not about how long your hair is, your dress is, how much makeup you put on, how much makeup you don't put on. It may affect some of those things. But true holiness is about a condition in the spirit of man. And when you understand the change that has taken place in your spirit and you begin to renew your mind to it, you're going to change on the outside. On Barbara and I's first anniversary, we went to a very small town, a church that used to be a Pentecostal holiness church. My pastor sent us there. He was over 10 different churches in the Assemblies of God. I was ordained or licensed with the Assemblies of God at that point in time. And so we went to preach at this church, and my pastor told me before I went, he said, "Now don't wear a short sleeve shirt, because if you wear a short sleeve shirt, Larry, they will not hear a word that you have to say." So my pastor knew that I often wore short sleeve shirts, so he just told me. Anyway, we went to that church to preach on our first anniversary, May 19th, 1985. We drove about 70 miles to this small town to preach, and they had Sunday school upstairs, and then they had children's church somewhere else. I don't know exactly where it was, but I went in the basement. And while they were upstairs having Sunday school, Barbara was actually up there in the Sunday school class with them. And I was down in the basement, and I was praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit. She said while they were in Sunday school, they had all these questions. One of the questions was, "Is it God's will to heal today?" I answered that question in my preaching. She said, "You answered every question that they asked in Sunday school, and I wasn't even there. I didn't even know the questions." But everybody say, "The Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost knows. That's why you need to know the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost knows. Amen? And actually, the doctrine, it was at that point in time an Assembly of God church, and their doctrine at that point in time was this, taken from P.C. Nelson's book on divine healing, is that we believe that divine healing is provided in the atonement, and it is the privilege and the will of God for every believer. I believe that divine healing is provided for in the atonement, and it is the privilege and the will of God for every believer. Now, just because it's God's will doesn't mean that you receive it. There's a lot of things sometimes between believing and receiving. Amen? But you got to start by believing, okay? So I don't know what they believe now. I don't know if they hold to that doctrine, but I'm going to tell you that is a Bible doctrine, and I believe it, and it works. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there are these 5 points. We want to begin with the first one. The first one is you need to know the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. Many people, even though they're in the church, don't understand the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Let's go back and look at verse 17 to verse 19. He said, "I don't want you to walk like other Gentiles walk," in verse 17, "in the vanity, in the emptiness, in the futility of your mind." In other words, as a believer, you can direct your mind. And if you as a believer will direct your mind will direct your life. So he says, don't walk in the emptiness, in the futility, in the vanity of your mind. He says, and this is a really good definition, biblical definition in verse 18 of spiritual death. They have their understanding darkened, and they are alienated or separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That is a biblical definition of spiritual death. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest at any time the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. It goes on to say in verse 6 that God, who commanded the light to shine in this darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 7 it says this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So when you got born again, everything in your spirit changed and you became a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Everything on the inside of you in your spirit was created in the image of God. All things are of God, the scripture says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, who reconciled us to himself, restored us to right relationship with himself, and made, right? And gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. It goes on to say this in verse 21, for God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the first thing you got to do is you got to understand that there was a major change that happened the moment that you believed on Jesus. Now go ahead and put up that graphic. Okay, tell me when that graphic comes up. Praise the Lord. Is it up there yet? All right, it's there. So when I first started out in Bible study, after I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit in Lamar, Colorado, one week when Andrew Womack was gone, he had a guest teacher teaching our Bible study. And so he taught spirit, soul, and body like the center picture. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this person came and taught spirit, soul, and body just like that center picture is, okay? So everybody say this with me. I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a body. Now the difference between an unbeliever and a believer is like the difference between on the one on the left, right, and the one on the right. Okay, so notice in an unbeliever, the spirit is dark. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 7, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, adulteries, all these evil things. It comes from the inside out. So that's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. He says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again, because that which is of the flesh is of the flesh, but that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. There is a natural birth, and that's when you were born in the flesh, and there is a spiritual rebirth, and that's when you're born again. So when you get born again, the believer on the right side, notice the spirit is light. God, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our heart, in our spirit in that case, right? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Did you know what? It is not hard to live the Christian life without Christ. It is impossible to live the Christian life without the Christ life. So the moment that you get born again, everything in your spirit changed. In your spirit, you have the life of God, the light of God, the love of God. In your spirit, you have all the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you hear me teach very much on faith, you will hear me say this. As a believer, you do not have a faith problem. And the reason you do not have a faith problem is because in your spirit, you have the exact same spirit of faith that Jesus had. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says, "We then having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore we speak." You do not have a faith problem. You have the exact same faith as Jesus. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So you don't have a faith problem. What you have is an unbelief problem. So the unbelief has to do with the realm of the soul, right? And so if you begin to deal with the soul. Now, Dr. Lester Sumrall taught that the spirit, that's where Christ lives. That's where you become a new creation in the realm of the spirit. He said the spirit has to do with intuition, communion, and conscience. That's the function of the spirit. It's talking about your relationship with God, communion with God, consciousness of God, consciousness of the good things of God. Right? Intuition. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. That's Job 32, verse 8. Amen? Proverbs 27. I think it's the right verse. It might be the wrong verse, but the Bible says this in Proverbs. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the lamp of the Lord, the light of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. In your spirit, you already have everything you need to succeed. Amen. Whosoever is born of God overcomes this world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world." Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen. So your spirit, once you're born again, your spirit is not the problem. Amen. Your spirit has been transformed. Your spirit has been made new. You have everything you need to succeed in your spirit. Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." He's working in your spirit to will in your soul and to do in your body his good pleasure. That is spirit, soul, and body. Amen? The soul has been defined by Dr. Lester Sumrall, by Oral Roberts, by many other great leaders in the full gospel realm as the mind, the will, and the emotions. So once you're born again, what you need to do is go another step and renew your mind. Amen? And so there are a lot of people that have been born again and their spirit has been changed, but they've not renewed their mind. Guess what? If you as a believer are born again, but you have not renewed your mind, you look a lot on the outside, maybe exactly like an unbeliever. Because the unrenewed mind will, on the outside, even though your spirit has the life of God, the love of God, the light of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the faith of God, the victory of God is on the inside of you. If you don't have a renewed mind, you're just going to look just like the world. But when you begin to renew your mind to who you are in Christ, it will literally transform you. We're going to be talking about this next week. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Amen. So you need to understand there's a difference between the believer and the unbeliever, right? Point number two, after you understand, that's the difference between darkness and light. Amen. Once you understand that, then you must accept the truth that is in Jesus. Notice we go back here to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21, he says, "You haven't learned to live like the devil in Christ. If so be," some people in Christ, but they live like the devil. Okay? "If so be that you have heard him and been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus." Point number two is you must accept the truth that is in Jesus. The truth in the embodiment of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He said in John 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Right? And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The truth of the embodiment of Jesus is this. I believe this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Christ, Jesus, died for our sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day and made him Lord. That is the truth of the embodiment, the person of Jesus. And if you don't believe that, you're not going to make heaven. So we must first accept the truth that is in the person of Jesus. But secondly, we must accept the truth that is in the Word of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 17, verse 17. He said, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, once you believe on Jesus, he says, receive the sincere or desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you might grow thereby. Amen. So point number one, you got to know the difference between being saved and not saved or born again. Jesus said you must be born again. You have an outward man, you have a physical man, you have a spiritual man. Right? You have a body, outward man, and you have a spirit, inward man. So that's why Jesus said you must be born again. Point number two, you must accept the truth that is in Jesus. Point number three, he says, you must put off the old man. Look at this in verse 22. The former conversation, that word conversation is talking about lifestyle, right? Another, it's an old English word. One way it's translated is citizenship. Citizens of a certain country will behave in a certain way because of their culture. Let me give you an example from about 25 years ago, a little longer than that. Barbara and I went to South Texas to a very large church to preach. When I preached there, one of the ladies who was in leadership in that church asked me a question. She said, "What do you think about a woman wearing a dress on the platform, a pantsuit? What do you think about a woman wearing a pantsuit on the platform?" Because this is about 1990s. Well, this is 35. Well, no, closer to 2000. So about a little over 25 years ago. Now, this is a very large church, right? If you looked out there, you would thought the church was 80% white and 20% Hispanic. But the church actually was 88% Hispanic and 12% white. They gave us all the statistics. Amen? So she was a Hispanic lady. She was in leadership in the church. She asked me this question. She became a very good friend of me because she loved it that I said, I don't think it's any problem for a woman to wear a pantsuit on the platform. You know why? She was relieved because that they were it was a Hispanic church on the border of Mexico, Mission McAllen, Texas, right? And Mexico has a lot of legalistic religion. And so it was in the Mexican culture, right, not acceptable for a woman to wear a pantsuit on the platform. I said, there's no problem with a woman wearing a pantsuit on the platform as long as it's modest. I believe that modesty, everybody, some of you clapping your hand, is a good policy. Amen? Hallelujah. So what it says here, put off that old lifestyle, that old way of living. Did you know we are citizens of heaven on loan to the earth from God? And when you begin to understand this, you have the culture of heaven on the inside of you. So your life on the outside should be a demonstration of heaven. We came to show heaven to earth. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says, put off the former lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and let's read in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. Notice what Paul says in Romans 8, 5. For they who are after the flesh, outward man, do mind the things of the flesh, the outward man. But they that are after the Spirit, inward man, the things of the Spirit. Notice verse 6, for to be carnally minded, to be minded according to the flesh, according to the outward man is death. But to be spiritually minded, to be minded according to the inward man or the word of God is life and peace. Notice verse 7, because the carnal man is an enemy of God. The modern English version says the carnal mind is hostile towards God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So there's two changes that need to take place in order for you to put off the old man. Number one, you must be born again. In your spirit, you got to be regenerated. You can't live the Christian life without the Christ life. Listen to what Paul says about this. Let's turn back a page to Romans chapter 7, verse 5. He says, for when we were in the flesh, before we got saved, in other words, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. I like to say you came by sin, honestly. You know what? I was a really ornery child. I'm still a little bit ornery. But my daddy did his best when I was a little boy to beat the H-E double hockey sticks out of me. Amen? The Bible says, some of you don't like that. Okay, I'm sorry. The Bible says rebellion's bound in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction will drive it far from him. So my dad believed fully in that scripture. Amen. When Aaron was about 15, he said, Daddy, it's right for you to buy me a car. I said, why? He said, because the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Aaron's revelation. You know, we told our kids, you can get any car, kind of car you want, just you got to pay for it. Hallelujah. Amen. So God took care of them. Amen. What they believed, they received. Now, the outward man, look at what he says in verse 5. When we were in the flesh, before we got saved, the motions of sin, which were by the law, worked in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So there's got to be a change in the spirit. You have one problem that will keep you from living this. And first of all, the first problem is you must be born again. You've got to change nature. You had, before you got saved, an unregenerate nature. But you have another problem. And that is with your mind. You've got to renew your mind. It's an unrenewed mind. And that's why a lot of people, even though they've been born again, they still look like this person over here, like an unbeliever on the outside, because they've never renewed their mind. So you've got to be regenerated. See, when you got regenerated, what happened is in your spirit, you got regened. But then you've got to renew your mind. Now, when I was a kid, I was out hunting. One time, it was in January, it's about midnight. It's probably 5 below zero or something like that. And I was driving on the dry land, and it had snowed, right? And there were these tracks. They had been there a long time. They were about this deep, and I was driving a two-wheel drive pickup. And it had snowed and melted and then iced over. So I was driving down the track, and all of a sudden, I'm riding on the ice. It's about midnight. It's about, you know, 5 below zero. I'm about 5 miles from my house, and I'm going along on those tracks. I'm going pretty good, Ryan. I'm going pretty fast, and all of a sudden, the ice broke. Now, guess what was under the water? You know, we had ice, then we had mud, and then we had ice, water, and then mud. And I knew if I didn't have a major change, I was going to have a long cold walk home. So you know what I did? I popped the clutch. I dropped it a gear. I hit the gas. And I turned the wheel and I jumped out of that rut. Do you know what a rut is? A rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. Because I knew that if I didn't have a change, I was going to have a long, cold walk home. And some of you, spiritually speaking, have been in a rut for a long time. And if you don't hit the clutch, drop the gear, and hammer the Holy Ghost gas, you're going to die stuck. See? I was saved and stuck. There's a lot of people that are saved and stuck. God doesn't want you to be saved and stuck. But when you start believing what God said, you come to a place you can start receiving. I'm looking at a man right now. His business had dried up. It had went to nothing. But he spoke something to me this week. He said, I am going to believe God between now and the end of the year that $100,000 comes into my, it's a ministry, but into my business. And I talked to him this morning. He said, he just told me a few days, $20,000 already came in. Glory to God. But you know what? The key to his receiving was believing. And if you don't believe it, it's going to keep you from moving into what God has for you. So a change of believing precedes a change of receiving. So he says, put off the old man, right? The unregenerate man. But part of doing that is you got to change your mind. Because he says this. He says those who are in the flesh, you got to be saved first, cannot please God. But not only you got to be saved, you got to change your mind. He says in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwells in you. If any man has not the spirit of Christ, he's none of it. You're either one of these. You're either not saved and darkness is ruin in your spirit. Or you're saved and light is ruined in your spirit. And on the believing side, you're either on this side where you haven't renewed your mind or on this side where you have renewed your mind. And it's possible for you to have renewed your mind in some areas and not to renew your mind in other areas. So if I've been in a violent mind renewal process for the last 47 years. And it doesn't happen all at once. You know why? You've got to continue to renew your mind because you're in a world that's been affected by sin and by Satan. So you have to keep renewing your mind. I had a major breakthrough in the last year and it came as a way of revelation. And I had a man here in first service. He met with me. He travels. He's on the road. He's a truck driver and has a different thing that he does. But he watches us like every week online. And he said, I don't know what happened to you, but in the last several months, something has happened to you. And the joy that's flowing out of you is changing people's lives. Hallelujah. It's because I had a breakthrough in revelation. And a breakthrough in revelation precedes a breakthrough in manifestation. So if you want, and I've had four major breakthroughs. Number one, I got saved. Number two, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Number three, I got a revelation of grace. And number four, I got a revelation that I was dealing with the spirit of rejection, and how that's manifested is through sadness and sorrow and grieving when people are being moved out of your life. And the person told me this. She said, even when God is removing people out of your life, you're not dealing with it well because you're struggling with rejection that happened to you even as a child in your own family. But when I broke out of that, a whole new level of joy came. Then I went to a meeting where Max Cornell was preaching, and he was preaching and talking about what happened in the New Testament church and caused it to grow was one of the main things was happened. They had a breakthrough in joy. They ate their meat with gladness. That in Acts 2:47, and it means they ate their meat with extreme joy. And I can tell you I've been operating in a lot of joy. See, because if the devil can steal your joy, he'll steal your goods. So I got my joy back. And guess what? I'm beating the devil. and I'm winning. It's not like I don't have any challenges. It's not like I don't have any difficulties. Amen. But I'm winning. Because I got my joy back. So as a breakthrough in revelation precedes a breakthrough in manifestation. You see that? So in your spirit, so number one, you got to understand the difference between a believer and unbeliever. Number two, right, you receive the truth that's in Jesus, the truth in his person and the truth of his word. Number three, put off the old man. Let's go ahead. So what's reigning, your old man or your new man? So he says, you're not in the flesh, if so be it the Spirit of God dwells in you. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall bring life. That life that's in your spirit will flow through your soul to your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in the inner man. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look. Number 4. Point number 4 is this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That word for spirit is talking about like a school, because one word for spirit is this. It's not talking actually about your spirit. It's talking about your soul. It's talking about your attitude. So you got to change your attitude. Say, change your attitude, pastor. Amen. My daddy told me when I was a kid, I'm going to give you an attitude adjustment. Amen. If you want to be sad, I'll give you something to be sad about. You want to cry around here, I'll give you something to cry about. He'd tell me that. You mean it? Help me. I need it. I was a really honored child. Okay, still a little bit honored. I still need a little correction sometime. And God corrects me by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Okay. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This word renewed is the Greek word ureno, and it means renewal, renovation, or to take on a new mind. You need to renovate your mind. You know what? When you renew something, when you renovate it, it means a complete change for the better. Hallelujah. When we moved to Colorado Springs, we moved in a house that was built in 1972. We moved here in 2001. It had not been touched. It had gold shag carpet and red shag carpet and blue shag carpet. And a lot of it was black from the cats and dogs I had running in it. It had white walls that were turned black by the smoke. They had one corner. It had a big old green lamp. They sat in the corner in a big eat-in kitchen. I think they sat in that corner smoke. The walls were all black around. It had pictures. When we pulled the pictures off the wall, it was brown around the pictures from the smoke. Amen. It had single pane aluminum windows. We thought about maybe keeping them, but you could see where the rain rained through and the cold and heat would go right through. And did you know it had been painted black on the outside with yellow trim, oil stain. It was ugly. It had a California tile roof on it, fiber tile roof that wasn't approved for Colorado. But guess what? We renovated it. And we moved in. We ripped out all the carpet. We ripped out all the flooring. Amen. We put 27 gallon of Kills on the inside. I went to Walmart and I bought 28 gallon of Battleship gray paint and painted the outside over the black. It had to be oil based because it had stain on it. I mean, it had eaten through the front. It had a circle driveway. There were deer in it. You couldn't even see the deer. It was ugly. Mary Peterson came and looked at it and said, I don't know what Pastor Lawson has done to Barbara, but it is terrible. But I could see through all that. So we put 27 gallon of Kills on the inside. We put 28 gallon of oil base paint on the outside. We painted over the yellow and made it white. It literally had these things like a barn. I cut off these horns that made it look like a barn around the windows, made it look like a house. Painted the trim white, painted the house gray, put all new flooring, all new paint. Amen. After a while, the California roof tile went bad. And did you know what? There was a class action lawsuit, and they paid me enough money that I was able to put a brand new cherry in Sile's stone kitchen. And it was a miracle. Hallelujah. We put a new stone-coated steel roof on it. We changed it. We rent. It was a complete change for the better. In 2 weeks, it didn't even look like it did before. Mary came over 2 weeks later. She said, Mike, it's amazing. You can't believe the change. Did you know what? If you'll renovate your mind, your life will look so amazing that people will not even realize what's happened to you. Be renewed. He says, put on the new man. He says, put off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Change your mental attitude. Change the way you think. Have a renewal, a renovation, a complete change for the better. Take on a new mind. And then he says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, your spirit is created righteous and true holy. But you know what? You can't do that on your own. It takes the word of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit. I want to read one more scripture. Can I read one more scripture to you? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 9 through verse 12. We're talking about living by divine design. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But don't stop there. Keep reading. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. It takes the Holy Spirit working in your spirit to reveal to you the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It takes the Holy Spirit working in your spirit, working with the word of God to reveal to you God's perfect plan and will for your life. Amen? So my conclusion is simple. A change of believing will lead to a change of receiving. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.